You guys are going to love this one. So, thank you for uploading Q&A videos regularly to your channel. They've been a great help to me in my walk with the Lord. I'm writing today about a question regarding driving, specifically on whether or not speeding is a sin. Y'all ready for this one? Come on. Nobody should be walking away right now. Back to you. Okay. Is speeding sin? Romans 13, 1-2 says, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. Upon first consideration, this would seem to mean that any kind of speeding is sinful because it breaks this commandment in Scripture. The purpose of the speed limit, however, is to keep people safe. To keep people safe while driving. If we should drive with a closer observance to the intention of the law than just the letter of the law, then could speeding be justified since it could be safer in some situations? On select occasions, the speed of traffic may be up to 10 miles per hour over the speed limit where I live, and I feel as if I may cause an accident if I drive at such a dissimilar speed to everyone else. Having said that, how should we treat speed limits as Christians? Should I be able to follow the speed of traffic even if it means speeding? If I do it in good conscience, or should I make a conscious effort to not speed even a small amount in trying to follow Romans 13:1-2? Now, I think this is a good question, because I think that it can apply to a lot of different aspects of life, and it's extremely practical. Most of us drive all the time. I mean, we have daily experiences with regards to this. This is an area where we, on a very practical level, are confronted by Scripture daily. Every time we climb behind the wheel of an automobile. So let's think. Okay, I guess the first place to start would be Romans 13. I know Brother Craig preached on this back at the beginning of this whole coronavirus thing, but it's worth looking at again. Romans 13. Because I think that there's some questions that are worth asking here. Romans 13, verse 1, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. So, that, okay, we recognize this. Christians are not to be lawless when it comes to our rulers, our governing authorities. So I guess we need to ask some very practical questions about this. Do the governing authorities create the speed limits? I mean, what do you think? Would we acknowledge? Yes. Yes. The governing authorities are the ones. Would we all acknowledge that? Would anybody deny that? Would anybody try to make a case that no, the governing authorities are not the ones who make the speed limits? So no, nobody's going to argue that. We recognize, yes, the very governing authorities that we are told to obey, they've made the speed limits. Okay. So let me ask you this. Would you consider the state legislatures who create the laws on the books? Would you take them to be governing authorities? I think we would. But let me ask you this. Do you believe that police officers are governing authorities? Or would you say no? Do we call police officers authority? Are they authoritative? Are they authoritative extensions of our government? I mean, here's one of the things that I think we have to ask ourselves. All over the world, you probably can find any number of laws on the books. But then you also have what's enforced. Now I'll tell you, this becomes a big issue. And let me ask you something. When you have portions of the government, and I'm not even talking about a division here between maybe what the legislatures do and what the laws are on the books over against what's actually enforced. But what happens when you actually have judges who are like saying things that are opposed to the Constitution? What happens when you have Democrats who are letting people come across the border? When Obama was the president, he basically took various executive actions and he was allowing certain things to happen and he was inviting people to come across our borders, even though we have laws on the books that say they should not be allowed into the country. What happens when you have inconsistency in the government? And I guess because we know that when it comes to like immigration, we've got inconsistent voices. We know when it comes to situations like speed limits, you know, and you have probably heard that the law enforcement actually, they even have policies, and some of the policies are even on the books in certain states that allow people an overage. Now, and I recognize you could say, well, if I was in a state and I knew it was on the books where they allowed you to go 5 over or go 10 over. But these are real things that Christians have to wrestle with, that I found myself wrestling with. We've had situations with illegals attending our church. We've had situations where we've been faced by situations, even with the pandemic. I mean, you know, ask yourself this. When we have a mayor who says one thing and we have a governor who says another thing, and the governor supposedly takes precedence, the governor is a higher authority, and then you've got a president saying something. See, in different states, you've had the president. You on a federal level, you've had certain things being said. On state levels, you have other things being said. On the local level, you have another thing being said. And then you have the enforcers of those laws at all levels, who may be enforcing what's on the book or they may not be enforcing what's on the book. What does a Christian do? Does a Christian just basically take the most conservative? Does he look at every single person in the government and just say, I'm going to take the absolutely most conservative? Then you even maybe have debate about what is the most conservative position. Is the most conservative position inviting illegals to remain in our country or telling them that they need to go back to Mexico? I mean, which is it? Which is the most conservative? And so this is a real issue that I think we have to wrestle with when it comes to these things. Now listen, even I have a big old volume called Christian Ethics. And I just want to read you something. Now, I'm not necessarily reading this to have you agree with it or disagree. I'm just saying Wayne Grudem, in a massive volume, he probably wrote this for lectures he did at some college, but he says this: when is it right to disobey the civil government? That's the heading. The major heading is citizens should be subject to the government and obey its laws. We know that from Romans. We know that from other portions of Scripture. The other primary place where this would come up would be like 1 Peter 2:13. You've got some similar statements. So it's not just Paul, it's Peter as well. And so basically what Grudem's doing in this massive volume is he's saying, you know what? When it comes to Christian ethics, we as Christians have a responsibility to obey the government. That's what Paul says. The default position for every one of us should be, when laws are made, we're going to obey them. We of all people in society are going to be lawful individuals, not lawless. Lawlessness should not characterize a child of God. But, okay, he's got this section. When is it right to disobey the civil government? He's got a footnote. What about speed limits? Now listen to Grudem. Does being subject to the government require Christians to follow the posted speed limit exactly when driving? For many years, I thought, this is Grudem speaking, I thought that Romans 13 required me not to exceed the posted speed limit. Therefore, I regularly held my speed to 30 miles per hour, 45 miles per hour, 55 miles per hour, if that was what the sign said, with the result that probably 95% of other drivers passed me going 5 to 10 miles per hour faster. But I held my speed steady, even though it tried my patience. Then, one day, a Christian lawyer told me that in several cases, courts in the United States had upheld the principle that the speed limit people are required to obey is not the posted speed, but the speed that is customarily enforced. Now, this is difficult. See, this is at a federal level. What you have are federal courts who have said it is lawful to drive 10 mile per hour over the speed limit, because that is what is enforced. And so even our court system, which is part of our governing authority, they have cases on the books. And so here's the case. So what you have is you have Grudem saying that when I live in Arizona, the speed limit that is customarily enforced is 10 or 11 mile per hour above the posted speed, according to my personal observation and according to media reports. Although less tolerance might be given if you're driving erratically or to very young drivers, police practices in other states and other countries may differ. He says this: therefore, my personal practice now, in general, is to drive with the flow of traffic and to stay under the limit that is customarily enforced. This I do with a clear conscience. However, this is a matter of making a wise application of Scripture to a specific situation, and Christians may differ about it. I have a good Christian friend who's a professor at another seminary who disagrees with me and believes he is conscience-bound to stay under the actual posted limit. Y'all like that? Now, we're not done. We're not done by a long shot. Because this is extremely practical, and I think this is well worth thinking about. But, see, that's interesting. Did you all know that there were actually federal court cases that have ruled in the favor of upholding that reality that it's not a violation of the law for you to drive at the limit that is enforced, not that's on the sign? Interesting. I think it's very interesting. And here was a man who has a conscience, and he was bound to the letter of the law until he was told by a Christian attorney about such federal court cases. Okay. Now, let's think about some other things. I want us to simply think about, here's something that's interesting. If you search, like John Piper has done he's done one of his questions on this very subject, and he's also, what are the little deals he does with Scripture? A look at the book. He's also done one of those on Romans 13. And when he did that, he referenced this. And one of the things that he actually asked Christians to do is consider the math. And I like that approach. I hadn't really thought about it, but I want to tell you what he said. He said, do the math. Well, okay, let's do a little math. I did some. Let's suppose, take an individual. Take a man. He's got to go to work every day. And he's got to drive 30 miles to work. And let's say the posted speed limit is 60 miles per hour. Well, think about it. If it's 30 miles and he's driving 60 miles per hour, forget all the city roads he's got to go down from his house to the highway and the highway to his workplace. Just for the sake of numbers, how long is it going to take him? 30 minutes. Right, a half hour. Now, let's say he drives, instead of the posted 60 mile per hour, he drives 65 miles per hour, so he's five over. Instead of it taking 30 minutes, if anybody can give me the number right off the top of their head as to how long it'll take him, I'll be impressed. Let me tell you, it takes him 27 minutes and 42 seconds. He saved 2 minutes and 18 seconds by violating the speed limit. 2 minutes and 18 seconds. Now, do you know what I find really interesting is how Piper argued that. He said, do you realize that violating, now look, I recognize you may run with Grudem's argument. You may want to run with his argument, even though you're not exactly convinced like he was convinced. You just want to run with it because you want to speed. You're looking for any opportunity. But you know the thing is, Piper argues it may be that 2 minutes and 18 seconds that you think you gained by speeding. He said, have you ever considered that God may take that amount of time that you violated that law contrary to his word, he may just be pleased to take that time right away from you. He said, you know, in Malachi, it says, test me. It had to do with the tithe and that God would withhold the destroyer. But have you ever thought about God might be saying, test me and do what I'm telling you? And you may find that I will withhold the destroyer. And Piper said, you don't know how many times you get put on hold, or the bank teller has to go do something, or you have to reboot your computer because something went wrong. And all the time, it's God taking back away from you the very time that you think you gained by speeding. Piper actually goes so far as to say, worship the Lord. Do this for the Lord's sake and drive the speed limit. And he said, you can set the cruise control at 55 or 60, if we go back to our example. And he said, you can just drive down the road at peace, even though 95% of all the traffic goes by you. But can you see it? There's Grudem over there in that lane. There's Piper over there in this lane. They're both driving 60 miles per hour. Piper has a smile on his face, and he's got the cruise set at 60. And Grudem's over there with his cruise set at 60 and 95% of the people going by. And he's just feeling it. See, different people, but look, I think anybody that wants to argue about, well, if I don't go with the flow of the traffic, I'm going to cause an accident. Brethren, how many accidents do you hear are happening because somebody's driving the speed limit and speeders are slamming into the back of them? That is just a rationalization. Nobody really even believes that. You know what? It's not that. It's just, you don't like people passing you. You don't like people honking at you. You don't like to be the guy that, but look, here in Texas, at least, most of our speed limits are set high enough that if you go the speed limit, it is not embarrassing. Now, there are some states where it's ridiculous. And over in England, oh, the speed limits are like so low, but you just can't hardly believe it. But look, I remember one time driving down a highway, and I was with a bunch of guys, and something came up about how fast the guy, it was one of the guys from the church there in Louisiana. He'd come down here. He brought Andy. We were driving from my house to the church building, and the guy driving was going pretty fast. And I just remember Andy over there, and he said, brother, he said, the authority of God's behind that sign. And, you know, I think we do well to think about that. Listen, if the federal courts really allow us to drive at the enforced speed limit, I think it's something to consider. But I think considering this as well, brethren, the amount of time you gain by speeding, God may very well be taking it away from you. And I'll tell you this, if you drive the speed limit specifically to honor the Lord, you may find the Lord has 1,000, 10,000 ways to give you back the time you think you might have gained if you sped all the way. He can make your computer not crash. He can make things go smooth. He can make you make up the time. Listen, this is the God that in Joel said he can restore what the canker worm eats. That means he can fix things. He can make things better. And so I think we definitely want to look. There are times it's kind of like the disciples eating on the Sabbath. You know, we do have to consider man, and we have to consider man's good and man's health. And obviously, if my father-in-law is having a heart attack, I'm running every red light because his life is at stake. And you know what? That's acceptable according to our laws. If somebody's life is at stake, but listen, Brethren, if you speed and you try to rationalize it and you try to justify it and you just dismiss Romans 13, it's just you exalting your preference over what God has said in his word. I mean, that's what Eve did at the beginning. What did she do? She basically said, you know what? I think I want to eat this. Why? Because I want to. Even though God says not to, I want to. And that's what it really comes down to. The thing you better notice about Grudem is that before Grudem had insights into the court system, he followed the law. And I think that's, brethren, as I was preparing this, way back when I was first saved, I remember R.C. Sproul was speaking at Wheaton College in Chicago. And because I lived right around the end of Lake Michigan over there near Kalamazoo, I took the day off. I was an engineer at the time, but I took the day off and I had a pastor friend who was single, and he came to the same singles Bible study that I went to, and he and I arranged to go over, and he had some other pastor friends. So I think there were five of us, I think, in a car, big old sedan of some sort. And we hit the road, took a road trip over to Chicago. Well, somewhere as we were nearing Chicago, as we came into Illinois, this pastor friend of mine asked me to drive. And I mean, I was so lawless when I was lost, and I had such convictions to honor the Lord. And I really had conviction. I used to drive so fast and reckless, and I knew what Romans 13 said, and I was very minded to honor God when it came to the speed limit laws. And brethren, this guy let me drive. And so you got to see the situation. It's not just I'm by myself. I'm in a carload with four other pastors. I wasn't a pastor yet, but with four pastors, and who are wanting to get to R.C. Sproul. It's on the way there. Just outside of Chicago, we were already in Illinois. We came to a construction zone, one lane on I-94. I can't even believe it. They made the speed limit 30 miles per hour on the interstate. And I would not drive a mile an hour faster than 30 miles an hour. I had traffic backed up for so many miles. I mean, this is like major semi-industrial traffic on I-94 right outside of Chicago at like 10 a.m. or, you know, 9 or 10 a.m. in the morning. And they've got a 30-mile-an-hour construction zone speed limit, and I drove it. And then it wasn't just for a mile. It must have been for like 10 miles or 12 miles or I don't know how long. It was and the guys in the car were really uncomfortable. And so, of course, these kind of debates are coming up about whether you should honor them or not honor them. And on the way home, they didn't want me to drive. But anyway. So, brethren, I'll just say this, that I think Piper really has a point about if you break the law all the time speeding and you're not really being mindful and obedient to what God has said in his word, I do believe that Piper's probably right, that God may be taking that time away from you in all sorts of ways you don't even realize. His blessing may not be there in your life. He may see to it you lose that time. Whereas if you honor him, you may see that the very way he says to the Jews of old in Malachi, to test him, if you test him, you may find that that's absolutely true. We want to be people of conviction. We want to be people that do what's right. Jesus said, you prove to be my disciples if my word abides in you. Brethren, we want to be, if all we are is hearers of the word and we don't put it into practical application in our lives, in the end, we end up being that foolish man. Don't be a fool. We need to be thinking constantly all through our lives. The most mundane things need to be in compliance. Yes, and I don't follow the chat here. I think you guys all probably have recognized that. But of course, when somebody first shoots one up, I do see a blip just for a second, and I see that Charlene was just asking about texting. Texting's bad. I mean, Zach was telling me that he was the first to arrive at an accident on an exit ramp. A girl was texting and she was going down the exit ramp, and all of a sudden, I suspect what happened was the traffic backed up so far out onto that exit ramp to where she was not accustomed to it backing up. And she was texting as she was coming off the highway and ran right into the car ahead of her. And Zach was the first one to the scene, and he said it wasn't good. He said she had a big bulge on the back of her neck, and he stayed with her till the paramedics arrived, if I remember the story correctly. But, you know, probably her neck was broke. If you keep your eyes off the road, I know we like to multitask. Again, it probably comes back to the same thing. We think we're saving time, but what are we really saving if we're disobeying the Lord? What are we really doing if that we know that there are laws against it? You say, but everybody does it. Yes, and everybody's going to hell too. I mean, the masses know not our God, and they know not Christ, and the few there be that find it. Should we expect most people are going to be lawless? Absolutely. Should we expect that most people have no fear of God? Yes. But that should not describe us. And look, I confess, I do have a conscience when it comes to these things. But has there been moments where it's like, bing, bing, I hear a WhatsApp on my phone while I'm driving, and it's like I pull it out of my pocket to just kind of look at the screen? Yes, I've done that. Is it, you know, do I look up sometimes and I find myself going to 40 and a 30? Yes, that happens. But I am thinking about these things all the time. Am I conscientiously trying to? I'll tell you, having to answer this, one of the reasons that I wanted to answer this is for my own sake and for my own conscience. Because all the more, if any of you feel that you want to pursue this even more, you've heard what I've quoted from Wayne Grudem, and I would have no problem but taking a photo of what that little excerpt right there and sending it to anybody who'd like to see it. But I also would very much encourage you all to look at the book and look at the Ask Pastor John that he did on these, because I think this is something that's really good for us, because it hits us right where we live. It hits us in everyday life. Excuse me. Anybody want to comment, or you have any of your own stories, or anybody want to try to justify why they speed?
I'm not going to justify the speeding. This is actually very helpful. Sometimes we hear not what we want, but you know what we have to. And I was thinking, you know, kind of chewing everything you were saying, and you know, what was the name of the first one? The one that actually his conscience was okay with speeding?
Wayne Grudem.
Okay.
But you do have to understand that he was still being guided by the biblical principle of Romans 13. He simply came to recognize that the governing authorities, at least on that on that court level had cases where they were basically, you know, what are the courts supposed to do? The courts are supposed to interpret the laws. And in interpreting the laws, they have felt like, you know, that speed limit that is actually enforced is the actual speed limit, not that which is, and look, I think there is something to that in the laws. We get redundant laws on the book that maybe had application at one time. They never get taken off the books. It's never enforced. I mean, there is that aspect of submitting to the governing authorities as well. I think one of the things that we really want to pay attention to is what do the governing authorities expect us to do right now? I mean, I think that's pretty key. There are certain laws on the books that the governing authorities right at this time would never make that law. They don't enforce that law. And a lot of times we don't even know about specific laws. But I mean, you know, there's laws like if you dig a hole in your yard, you're supposed to be calling a certain number. In fact, you probably don't even want to know all the laws. Sometimes we can almost feel like, you know, ignorance is better than sometimes we get governments who go law crazy. And there's too many laws. And then the sad thing, like we just saw with the pandemic, is the very guys making all the laws, they don't even keep them. They don't keep them themselves. And it's like, do they really expect us to keep them when they don't even keep them? And then they're making laws and then, you know, the governor says, no, you know, you don't have to obey those laws. Those are local laws and my laws supersede them. And there is an area that we have to sort these things out, but we do need to be people of conviction. We can't just be spongy. We can't not know why we're going to do or not going to do what we do. I mean, if there's laws about how to park, the direction you should park in. Brethren, let me just tell you something. You know that we are in a situation where the police are finding it increasingly difficult to enforce any laws. They are in a position where with everybody after them, attacking them, wanting to defund them, they're basically on their heels. And their ability to actively, proactively police is somewhat being challenged. And so, I saw some people over here on the east side the other day doing, they were riding motorcycles down the sidewalk. And I'm just feeling like I am seeing a level of lawlessness. Well, why? Well, because the police are in a position right now where they're being told not to deal with some of these things. And if ever there's a time when there ought to be a people who are rising above all this chaos and lawlessness, it certainly ought to be Christians.
And I think to your point, we didn't mention this verse, but even if it's, you know, to some, the conscience is like, okay, I can do this. To some others, it might not be. So if they're driving with somebody and you're speeding and to them it's wrong, could that be considered like you saying, I'm not going to eat meat in front of, you know, or at all so that they don't stumble? And because of the love of someone else, I won't speed. I'll be, or to our Christian cops, you know, that like you're saying, does that kind of apply there too?
Well, if I'm with an unbeliever that's speeding, look, I think that there's probably bigger issues. If I'm with a believer and he seems to have disregard, kind of like that situation when Andy was in the vehicle, I mean, was Andy right in saying something? You know, it might have been me that actually said something, and Andy was the one that affirmed what I was actually saying because when I see a Christian who it appears just has a total neglect for the governing authorities, I think that says something. It's like, I guess I want to know how do you have a clear conscience to do that? I'm interested to see, have they even grappled with it? You see, I've got great respect for Grudem because at least he's grappled with it. He can tell you why if you are driving with him and you're doing 10 miles over, you know why he's doing it. I mean, you've got a good feel that he's doing this by conviction. He's doing this with respect for what Scripture says about the governing authorities. He's not just being lawless. He actually has information in his own brain that gives him a clear conscience to do this. So knowing very well what 1 Peter teaches and what Romans teaches about the governing authorities, about the Christian's responsibility, he's upholding that with the information that he has. But when I find somebody who's just lawless and they just violate the governing authorities randomly, and you begin to ask them about it, and they have no, I mean, they're just not even conscientiously living their life. They just lawlessly, by the way, the guy that so freely would speed that Andy made that remark to, he's since fallen away from the Lord. And I mean, I want to bring that out because just blatant lawlessness, blatant indiscriminate, we really need to recognize that we are a people who have been bought with a price. And if we say we're slaves of Christ, to be a slave means you have a master. To be a slave to a master means you're in submission and you're in subjection. You know, if you just come along and you just say, I think this is a stupid law. Now look, I'm not going to deny, especially with regards to as of late, we've got politicians that are making laws that they don't make a lot of sense. There's not a whole lot of wisdom going into some of the laws and some of the orders that are being given by people in places of power. They're inconsistent. They don't make sense. Some of them do make sense. But if you just basically carry through life this attitude that, you know, I think this law is stupid. I think this speed limit's stupid. And when you're in a place of subjection, that's not the right attitude and it's not a proper attitude. But I mean, I've wanted, we have tried to be men of conviction when it comes to illegals in the church. And I mean, you know, it's something that we've really had to wrestle with and we are striving to deal with properly. Maybe people don't recognize how big of an issue that is in our church, but it's something that comes into play. Even recently with our own mayor making certain edicts and then our governor saying at a state level different things. I mean, I was very much minded to follow the governor's orders, not our mayor's, when there was conflict there. But it was by conviction because, you know, we do have to sort through these things. At what level are we going to are we going to respond? Are we going to respond at the level like Piper does? Piper's very much of the mindset. You don't ever need to drive over it unless there's an emergency. He believes civil disobedience at that level is just, he believes that the arguments that people make are just rationalizations and they don't really stand. And he believes that there's far more to worshiping God in doing the speed limit. Look, I'm not minded to go slower than the law requires. I want to try to redeem the time. And if the truth is that our court systems do allow you to basically drive with the flow of the traffic upwards of 5 or 10 over, that's something to consider. But we need to be people of conviction. We need to know why. And you need to know this. I mean, just because there's been a, driving over up by, you go drive through Alamo Heights and do 10 miles an hour over. But you see, I guess Grudem would come back to, well, it has to do with what's enforced. But you need to be careful, because I'll guarantee you this, in Alamo Heights, 10 over is not acceptable.
Can I just interject about that, actually? That, you know, I think it's far secondary to whatever scriptural arguments that we can make. But it makes it complicated here in the U.S., and maybe other places have similar forms of government, because there is a true aspect of nullification, and there's a true aspect of checks and balances in our government where it's appropriate to override laws. Like, for instance, a jury can decide that a law is shouldn't be enforced in a specific case, and that's the whole point of the system, is that 12-man jury decides that regardless of what the law says. They can decide it on that case, and it is law. But it doesn't mean that what they say for that case applies across the board for everybody. So there's like the proper way to challenge a law, and then there's de facto law because of the way that it ends up getting enforced, and everybody just is tired of dealing with the problem anymore, so they just don't want to do it, where it costs too much. For instance, like marijuana possession usually, or a lot of times, becomes in more liberal places, becomes decriminalized or citation only, they say, where they don't lock somebody up, even though there are federal laws, but really it becomes impractical for them. So it's arguable whether or not that de facto law that is being enforced is actually lawful, because it is a challenge, but was it a proper one? And it's like, if it hasn't been brought to the Supreme Court of the land yet, then it's really not clarified. So I think we have to kind of be careful about where we put our foot on those things, because yeah, like you said, it has to be the conscience. But, you know, to Kevin's point about the conscience, I would also bring Titus 2, verse 7 and 8. And I don't know that that's necessarily regarding, like, the laws of man. But, I mean, you know, it says there, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Now, it's talking about teaching there, but the principle there is how I apply the same kind of thoughts that Piper is saying. You know, usually it's not even worth it, but then beyond that, if you were to get into an accident and you were going 9 over in a place where even it was on the books that they wouldn't have pulled you over for that, it's still going to be noticed that you were going 9 over the speed limit. And the testimony of that versus you being completely scot-free is going to make a difference to the unbelievers.
Right. So, or if I'm driving home after church and you're following me, and I just, well, let's just say you're driving home and you're doing the speed limit, and I just go by you doing 10 over. It's like, or you're doing 10 over and your boy's looking over your shoulder at the speedometer when he gets old enough to recognize what a speed limit sign is. And then he's old enough to recognize what an odometer is and a speedometer. And then he's looking over your shoulder and he's recognizing dad doesn't have any regard for that. And so there is definitely a testimony issue. Anybody else have anything on that? Yeah, I think that that's a good one. I think you're right. I agree with you, brother. I think that Grudem's arguments are worth consideration, but I do think that I think that Piper is I would just want to encourage you all maybe to follow up by it's just one of his APJs. I think it's probably, I don't know, 6 or 8 minutes long. And then he's got a look at the book it's even shorter. It's probably 4 minutes. I don't remember. But
Hannah just brought up a good point, too, also on that. For the testimony's sake, there are times when, like Corey Ten Boom, we will need to disobey man's law because it's absolutely God's law for us to do it for mercy's sake. And when our testimony in all other ways for laws that clearly don't matter, it's not worth it to save you 2.5 minutes of time. If you stuck to it during that time, then your testimony, when you absolutely are breaking it for what you believe is
wrong. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego needed to not obey Nebuchadnezzar and bow down to his statue. And Daniel, he basically found himself under that edict to not pray to his God. And then, you can think of the midwives. And, of course, New Testament, you've got Peter before the Sanhedrin. But, yes, there are acceptable times. When is that? When is it a God-mandated civil disobedience? Well, clearly, when obeying the government would be a direct violation of God's commandment somehow. And so, but speeding, it comes down, we know the vast majority of us speed and it's not necessary. And it's like if you really think about how much time you save, and God's watching the whole time. And I think that is just a phenomenal argument that God may be taking all the time we think we save. He may be actually taking it back in 100 different ways. Whereas if we really honor him, we may find, you just have to remember that text. I think it's, where is that? 2 Samuel chapter 2? Or is it 1 Samuel chapter 2? I think it's 1 Samuel chapter 2 where God says to Eli that those who honor, I will honor. And that's key. If we drive the speed limit out of worship to him and out of a desire to honor him, I would expect that he'll honor us. Where if we're just flippant about it, we're not people of conviction. He's watching and he knows. You know, we can honor the Lord in things like keeping the speed limit that probably mean far more to him than us showing up at church and singing a song to him. You remember what Samuel said to Saul? God has interest in one thing over another. You remember that whole account where Saul was told to go kill the Amalekites and not spare any of them, and he spared much of the animals and spared Agag? And Samuel said to him that God desires obedience more than sacrifice. Sometimes we can think, well, you know, we gave our offering at church. Yeah, but obedience in the mundane things of life can really be the real issues behind what pleases the Lord. Just something to think about, brethren. Anyway, that was it's a good thing for us to be challenged about and exercised over. And anyway, I think we'll call it a day right there. It's 9:30. That gives us an hour and a half. And I'll pray. Father, I pray that the brethren would be indeed exercised and challenged and helped. And that, Lord, I pray for the brethren. I want us to be a church of people that are people of conviction, kind of people that, Lord, they put obedience beyond sacrifice. They put doing above just hearing. Lord, I desire that for myself. Every one of us have, Lord, we've done something with texting or we've done something with the speed limit. We know it. Lord, I want to honor you. Give us grace, Lord. May great grace be upon your church. Great grace to be, Lord, to be pleasing to you, to be upright, to be people of integrity and people of conviction. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.